From the KCPW Danker Studios at Library Square, this is Downtown SLC, a show that explores the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center. I'm your host, Jason Mathis. The legislature is in full swing with just about a week left. Joining me today will be David Litvak. David is the Deputy Chief of Staff for Salt Lake City Mayor Jackie Biskupski. We'll be talking about the issues at the legislature important to Salt Lake City that have an impact on downtown. Also joining me will be Jesse Dean. Jesse is the Director of Urban Development for the Downtown Alliance. He oversees policy initiatives for our group. We'll be looking at homeless initiatives, Medicaid expansion, liquor laws, and all the other exciting elements of the 2016 state legislative session, talking about how these things all conspire to help create, we hope, a more successful, dynamic, and diverse urban center. All of that after this news from the BBC. Welcome back. You are listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance. Joining me today is my dear friend, David Litvak. David is the Deputy Chief of Staff. Deputy Chief of Staff for Salt Lake City Mayor Jackie Biskupski. And you are also in charge of government affairs for Salt Lake City.
I work very closely with Lynn Pace, who's our Intergovernmental Affairs Senior Advisor. Policy is my is part of my responsibility.
Policy is your middle name.
Yes.
Yeah. No, it makes sense because you were the House Minority Leader for several years. You've been a representative in our wonderful legislature, which is the subject of our radio show today, the legislature, the awesome legislature.
The awesome legislature.
Yeah. Also joining me is Jesse Dean. Jesse is the Director of Urban Development for Salt Lake City, or for the Downtown Alliance. Although we care about all of Salt Lake City, we really focus mostly just on downtown. Jesse, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Jason.
So, David, I wanted to ask you to kind of start out. What are the big issues that you have worked the hardest on at this session? What are the areas that have really occupied the most of your time? And what are the things you care about the most happening in the next week as the session starts to wind down?
So our top priority in partnership with the Downtown Alliance, in partnership with Salt Lake County and many stakeholders and providers in the community, is reforming our homeless system and services. We have been working very closely with many individuals to really push forward an initiative called the Homes Initiative that will really hopefully transform the way that that we treat the homeless in our community and put individuals on a significant path towards sustainability and success in the community. Yeah. Transforming the way that we provide emergency shelter, looking at reforming the shelters and also how we provide sustainable housing moving forward, and even to the point of prevention and diversion. How do we provide housing in a way that prevents individuals from needing to come into shelter in the first place?
That's really the best option, right? I mean,
absolutely.
We don't want people to be homeless to start out with, and small
absolutely.
Interventions might be able to prevent that.
Absolutely. And the Road Home is a great organization, and they do great work. And so the need for reform is not an indictment on the organization.
Right.
We've set up a system, and they are doing, as Mayor McAdams and Mayor Biskupski are fond of saying, the Road Home is doing what we as a community, as a society, have asked them to do.
Yeah.
But we've created a system where you have to hit rock bottom before you can access services. You have to lose your home before you can get into housing, and we need to change the way we do that. And part of it is a $27 million ask that we know will not all happen in 1 year, but phased in over 3 years, that will allow us to look at the current shelter and ask questions about how we can provide that shelter service in a more effective model, a scattered site model that will be dispersed, that will serve and target specific populations that will allow us to meet unique needs. We say homeless and we think that describes everyone.
Yeah, well, I think most people just have a stereotype in their mind that a homeless person is some, 55-year-old guy who has a drug problem and maybe a little mental illness or something. But it's a much, much larger group of people than that, and each one has an individual story to tell. Each one became homeless through a unique set of circumstances.
And Salt Lake County did some great work leading up, and Salt Lake City, the previous administration, did some great work leading us to this point, this legislative session, where we have facts, we have knowledge about who that population is and how we can serve it better. Part of the legislative ask is also, so part of it, as I mentioned, the shelter space and how we scatter and serve a unique population, But then how do we provide that housing?
Yeah.
How do we, the prevention, diversion, but how do we get individuals from the moment someone needs services, from that very moment, how do we put them on that path forward in a productive way?
And you've had some success with that. This week, major vote in the House, moving out, which
passed unanimously.
Unanimously. How often does that happen?
Not very often. For my previous experience, people don't realize how often it happens, but it's usually smaller kind of issues, right? This is a big lift. But I will say, all the conversations I've had with former colleagues, new legislators that I have not had the opportunity, did not have the opportunity to serve with, it's amazing across the political spectrum. The ear that we have on this issue.
It's the time is right.
The time is right. The compassion, the empathy, the understanding, very little judgment being made, which I know for a lot of the listeners and our own stereotypes of the legislature and some of the things that we see coming from the legislature may sound surprising.
Yeah.
But it has made this issue very doable, this session.
I was really moved. I was watching the testimony when Francis Gibson, the bill sponsor, was speaking about it and just how touched he is. He's the majority whip, I think, in the House. And then Joel Briscoe, a prominent member of the Democratic Party, also spoke and just had such touching personal experiences in support of this.
Yeah.
Jesse, I want to take just a second and turn the mic to you and talk a little bit about the impact that this has on downtown. So this has been a top priority for the Downtown Alliance, as well as David alluded to. What do you see as the impact for the downtown area in rethinking the way that homeless services are provided for downtown?
Sure, Jason. So I think this collective impact approach is just an amazing model for downtown, because it really just underscores the fact that downtown is not just the singular place where homeless are going to congregate and find their services, but it's really more of a regional issue. Everybody knows that urban centers are a great place for those who are underserved in our community to be, and we are always going to be welcoming to them. But this really underscores the fact that it's not just the problem of downtown Salt Lake City, and it's not just bearing a brunt for the downtown businesses, the social service providers, or even the homeless themselves. They really deserve better than this, and that's been a really great sign that everybody's sort of starting to understand that fact.
Yeah. I think it's a book, actually, Jesse, that you gave me, The Triumph of the City by Edward Glaser, who's a Harvard professor and economist, and he talks about how urban centers they don't make people poor, but they're a source of strength and security, and they draw poor people from around the region who come to an urban center looking for that kind of support. And I think downtown is proud to be able to provide that support, but we recognize we can't do it alone, that it really needs to be a regional, community-wide led effort.
And that's exactly right. I think that, you know, we have such strong social service providers in our downtown, and they do amazing work, but they feel overwhelmed in certain ways, and they need some help, and so do our businesses, because of the different problems that have been arisen based off of this amount of stress put on our downtown center.
Yeah.
And this is just the right approach to move forward.
Yeah. Along with the Homes Initiative and the ask to sort of provide some funding to rethink the way we provide emergency services and how we can be more strategic in thinking about long-term housing and preventing homelessness in the first place, Medicaid expansion is another big issue that the Downtown Alliance in Salt Lake City have been watching. Our last week on our show, we had Bill Tibbetts from Crossroads Urban Center to talk about that a little bit. Jesse, maybe you can just underscore sort of what's happened this week and what's happening with the Medicaid expansion discussion at the legislature. And then I want to turn it back to David to get the city's reaction, because the city's been incredibly important in this conversation.
Sure. There are several Medicaid expansion bills currently sort of before the legislature, and the Downtown Alliance just believes that it's imperative that the legislature move forward with some sort of Medicaid expansion this year. To that end, we believe that Representative Dunnigan has put forth a bill that both houses are willing to pass, and that's HB 437, House Bill 437. And his bill, while not a full expansion, not covering some of the 68,000 to 69,000 people who are in the gap, will cover around 16,000 people, and it will really work on focusing on the downtown population, which is why we care so much about it. It will focus on the on homeless populations, focus on the ones who have recently got out of jail, and also focus on those who have mental or substance abuse issues. So, again, main populations that congregate in our downtown and need these services to actually get out of the cycle of homelessness.
Yeah. David, if you could maybe talk to that. That's something you spoke at a press conference earlier this week in support of this. And I know as a proud Democrat, you want Medicaid expansion for everyone.
Would love to see Senator Davis's bill pass. Yeah. Would love to see a full Medicaid expansion. But we also have to be realistic. And there's a critical difference here between what Representative Dunnigan is doing this year and what's been proposed in the past by the majority party of the legislature. The critical difference is for those 16,000 lives, there will be a guarantee for a year of full Medicaid coverage. Yeah. This is not partial coverage. It would be full Medicaid coverage, which is critical to this population. And, you know, the conversation that we just had about reforming our homeless services system, we can only get so far if we don't look at that adjacent issue of healthcare, right? Healthcare is a critical issue to address with this population, that if we truly want to change the way that we, the success that we have with individuals living on our streets that are on the edge, healthcare is critical to address. And we think that Representative Dunnigan, while his proposal, while maybe not ideal, what I would like to see as a good liberal Democrat, it's a huge step forward, a very positive step forward, and he deserves a lot of credit for pushing this forward.
Yeah, we've had some really great conversations with him over the past few months as he's developed his proposal and taken it around and kind of shopped it out and saw what people saw about it. And I know that his heart really is in the right place. I mean, I think his motives for doing this is he wants to make a difference. He knows this is not a state at this point in our history that is going to adopt full Medicaid expansion. It's not going to go for the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, but he wants to do something to try to help people who desperately, desperately need help. And this is, from my perspective, this is at least a first good step that we can build on in the future.
And this is the targeted approach. The population is the most costly to our taxpayers.
Yeah.
So this is a fiscally sound opportunity when we think about what the homeless population, those that are cycling in and out of our jails and prisons, and those that are struggling with behavioral health issues, how they impact all of us, our community, all of us as individual taxpayers. And it's important to say for the skeptics that are out there, which healthy skepticism is a great thing.
That's not bad.
The proposal does not preclude a conversation about full expansion in the future. If anything, it can be used as an opportunity to provide some real data about what the cost will be as we continue to have this conversation.
Well, and that's another great bill that we've seen is Rebecca Chavez Houck's bill, talking about measurement and measuring the homeless system, measuring the income, the inputs and the outputs, and how all of these things are working, which I think is really, really positive. And I think that, I believe that has that passed out of the House? Do you guys know, Jesse, do you know?
Yes, that did pass out of the House,
so Jason. It's in the Senate now.
It is.
Okay, cool. And do you know, could you talk a little bit more about that bill, just to your understanding of it?
Sure. So Representative Chavez Houck is putting together a data bill that really would focus on outcomes-based, looking at how we provide homeless services, making sure that the state, whatever money is spent by the state is actually being returned, there's a return on the investment, making sure that people are getting out of homelessness, people are getting into housing, getting the services that they need. And it's really focused at making sure that we're always constantly looking at improving our systems rather than just writing blank checks and not really understanding where the money's going.
Super smart. It's a strange day in our world. Not strange. It kind of defies stereotypes, because I think frequently Democrats get accused of just spending money willy-nilly. And here Rebecca Houck, a proud liberal Democrat, is saying, I want systems in place. I want to measure this. I want to make sure that we're making good investments. I want to, very fiscally responsible. And then you have the Republicans with Frances Gibson saying, hey, let's build better, more homeless shelters. It's awesome. I love it. But I do think that it speaks to the way that people of goodwill and common sense and just who have a core of decency want to come together on this issue and find solutions. And it has nothing to do with political party. It has everything to do with loving the state, loving our community, and wanting to find some solutions. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the Utah legislative session with David Litvak, former minority leader in the House and current deputy chief of staff for Salt Lake City Mayor Jackie Biskupski, and my friend and colleague Jesse Dean, who is the director of urban development for the Downtown Alliance. We'll be back after these messages. We are back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. This is a show that explores the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance. Joining me today is my friend, David Litvak. David is the Deputy Chief of Staff for Salt Lake City Mayor Jackie Biskupski. David, thanks again for being here.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
And also Jesse Dean. Jesse is the Director of Urban Development for the Downtown Alliance. Jesse, thanks for being here.
Thanks.
David, I wanted to go back to you and the conversations about the legislature. Obviously, thinking through the homeless crisis, and I don't think that's having hyperbole. I think really we do have a crisis.
Absolutely.
It's been going on for a couple of years.
Absolutely.
We've got some solutions here, but you're working on other things at the legislature besides just this issue. Maybe you could spend just a second talking about air quality, which seems like a perennial issue, but one that I know you spent a lot of time thinking about and trying to look for solutions.
Yeah, there's several bills and great leadership up at the state. Representative Patrice Arendt, Senator Okerlund, Representative Brad Wilson, all who are working on various issues that impact air quality. At this point, still yet to be determined on where some of those initiatives go. A lot of our focus this last session, this current session, has been on the building codes and working with Representative Wilson. The bill right now, where it's at is, in terms of air quality, is better, you know, where it started in terms of air ducts and technical things that I have no idea what it means, and water heaters and, you know, some positive things happening. It's almost like the Medicaid conversation in a way that there are some, including the Clean Air Caucus and the air quality advocates who feel the building code bill does not go far enough. But I think there's some good things there, and it moves us in a positive direction. But it's an ongoing conversation. I've been involved in this conversation, this legislative session on air quality. It's kind of invigorated me in terms of looking for some opportunities at the city and what we can do internally with the legislature in the future and internally at the city on addressing some really important issues that will allow us to move forward with better air quality.
Well, I have to say, and this really is a compliment to our new mayor, to Mayor Biskupski, that bringing you on was really a very, very smart move, because you know the legislative process, because you've been up there, you've been a leader at the legislature, and so to task you with watching the city's agenda move forward, really a good decision that Mayor Biskupski made to bring you on and do that. And
I see
your leadership up there time and again. Prior to your current appointment, your current job, you were actually the legislator who ran the bill that helped us get into the Rio Grande Depot for our...
That is correct. That is correct. I would say that the mayor's made two good choices when it comes to the legislature. I appreciate it. I would never say I was one of them, but thank you for saying that.
I'll say it for you.
And retaining Lynn Pace.
Yeah, Lynn is such a good guy.
Lynn is bright. He understands the process. And boy, the one thing I tell you I did not realize, now I know when I was a legislator that there were a lot of pieces of legislation that affect cities. I never realized how much. I never realized how many bills we would be tracking that, you know, in a negative and some even in a positive way are, you know, impact cities. And so really working through that and having Lynn on the ground up there day to day tracking and negotiating on behalf of the cities, it does
all
a phenomenal
those,
job.
Yeah, so yeah. Many things. Jesse, I wanted to talk quickly about liquor, another perennial issue at the legislature. And there's one major bill that we've been watching that we've been very supportive of. At the Downtown Alliance, related to liquor. Not a ton of stuff happening, but one bill that we think will be helpful.
Sure. Senator Jerry Stevenson is currently running a bill that would create a new sort of license structure with the DABC. This would create a hotel license. What it is really is just a simplification for hotels, because right now hotels, if they're larger, over 40 rooms, they have to have a banquet license, they have to have a restaurant or bar license, they also even have to have a room service license, and so it's very complex for them in terms of how they operate. What this bill does is actually creates one big permit for each hotel, and then also with that frees up some licenses, which are desperately needed, because right now there's no changes to the quota system of how the legislature determines when new licenses come up, but it's based off of population growth. But what this does is actually just consolidate some licenses in the hotels and frees up some restaurant and bar licenses, which are desperately needed in the downtown community.
So there's a definite direct correlation, not just with downtown hotels that might benefit from this, right, but in maybe providing some additional restaurant and bar licenses for some downtown properties that have been waiting for years for these things to come up.
We think it's a great tool. There's a lot of hotel development currently underway in downtown, and more in the future, given the good news with the Convention Center Hotel, hopefully moving forward here. But we just think that there, if there's any ways that you can sort of tweak these bills and laws to make it easier for new development to occur while also still protecting public safety and all the other important issues that go on with alcohol in our state, we're supportive of that.
We like that balance. David, I want to turn it back to you as we wrap up. And you've seen a lot of legislative sessions, and there's always sort of an ebb and flow. The last 2 weeks are always a little hectic. This is when all the real work seems to happen. And so it's when it's really exciting. So maybe just comment on how you see the legislative process working in our state and what people might look for over the next week as the legislature starts to wrap up.
Well, as you said, this is when it gets really interesting and things start really moving. It's really been enjoyable being on the outside, participating in the legislative process. Who knows what's going to happen, right? None of us can predict. But it's really important for all your listeners and the public to understand that they have to continue to be engaged, right? The conversations with the legislature has to continue until the very end. The one thing that I would hope that if I look back on my legislative career and the value that I can bring in the job I have now with Mayor Biskupski is, to me, success in the legislature is about relationships and about building relationships. And those relationships get developed by working together and being willing to sit down with legislators and talk about the issues that are important to us. You know, one issue I just want to mention in closing that's very important to Mayor Biskupski and our colleagues on the city council is economic development. And while there is not a lot happening for Salt Lake City around economic development this particular session, there's been a lot of conversations with the legislature about how we as a city, particularly as we look at what's going to be happening in the northwest quadrant of our city, how we as a city can work with our state partners, GOED, the state legislature, EDC Utah, and others, Downtown Alliance, to make sure that that we and the mayor's office and Mayor Biskupski is able to be successful with her vision for economic development, how we as a city can move forward that really pushes that as a top agenda. And there's been lots of conversations, and those are important conversations. They set the stage for when there will be specific proposals that we're working on together with our legislature.
Well, David, thank you for joining us. Thanks for your work up there.
Thank you. Likewise, thank you for your work.
Jesse Dean, one of my favorite people in the world, thanks for everything that you're doing up there to help look out for the interests of downtown Salt Lake City.
Thank you, Jason.
You've been listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. You can join us every Thursday at 10 a.m. where we explore the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center.